Thank you.
Well, thanks very much, Linda, and thank you to Linda and Alan, particularly for their support, and to all the speakers and participants. I mean, once again this year, the quality of both the presentations and the discussions has been extraordinary. And you know, when I go to the AUA or the EAU or whatever, I end up with sort of half a page of things I'm interested in. Here, I end up with 4 pages of various issues that have come up during discussion. I mean, the level of discussion is so high, and everyone has said to all of us that how much they've enjoyed this. And not only can I again thank our industrial partners, and I use the word partners very deliberately, because in this setup they are the partners, and their input is most useful, and they've all come up and said how helpful they found it, and they've gone back to sitting in scientific sessions and sort of relearnt their areas of interest. Any feedback to us would be very welcome about how we can do the good things better and how we can stop doing the bad things. That would be very useful. I think everybody seems to want to have a meeting next year. The site of the meeting is up to you. You're very welcome to come back to Bristol, and I think it's up to you to say what you want. Publications. This wasn't entirely satisfactory last year, as I said, when we opened the meeting, because it took too long, and then when it got into neuro-urology and neurodynamics, it wasn't properly advertised as being from this meeting. So, as I told you, both Chris Chappell and neuro-urology were very upset and embarrassed by that, and it was the fault of somewhere between the publisher and the printer. So we have to decide about publication. My suggestion would be that given this year you're going to have immediate access, the writers are going to have immediate access to all the voice material through the website here, and we'll email you next week to give you the password. That's been successful, so everything's been recorded, so it's going to be much easier for you to get the source material for your articles. And I don't know if it would be acceptable then to say that the articles must be completed by the 1st of October, which gives you sort of 6 to 8 weeks to do a draft which you can send out to people who are interested in your topic. And we should repeat again that anyone here who wants to be actively involved in any of these publications has every right to get involved, but it means they have to do some work. They can't just express an interest, sit back and expect their name to appear on the paper. That's not going to happen. So those that really want to do something, want to offer some material, their input would be most welcome by all the authors. So is it reasonable? I mean, there's lots of the authors here. Does anyone object to us producing the whole set of papers by the 1st of October? I can see Tony in the back. Is that reasonable?
Yes.
Sorry?
Mine will be with you by Sunday.
Fantastic. Well, you won't have written there, but you won't have listened to the audio material by then.
I didn't say which Sunday.
Oh, okay.
is there a special format again, or how would you like to have this?
No, I think...
It was a discussion of the last year.
Yeah, no, I think the format was... I mean, I read and edited every one of the articles and sort of suggested the format that they adopted, and everyone was really good and they all fitted in, so that wasn't a problem. The only thing that I would suggest actually this time that worked quite nicely for a paper we did on Jean-Jacques remembers the, where's Jean-Jacques?
He would
remember the paper on spinal cord injury management, where in the discussion of this paper, it was in BJUI, and maybe I will send you all the reference so you can look it up. We actually listed 1 to 23, I think it was, all the unanswered questions. For example, we would like to know whether it's useful to put patients on antibiotics for the first 4 weeks of intermittent catheterization, but there's no evidence we should or shouldn't. So I think it would be quite nice if you listed all the questions that have come out of your topic within the discussion that you think, one question per research topic, so that it's down there. And some of the think tanks have come up with so many questions that, you know, they need prioritization, and it's only realistic to do one or two studies within the next 12 months from all that great list. So I think that might be something that other people would find useful, so they would use your papers then as a resource of possible research topics in that particular field. So I think that would be good. Now, in terms of where we publish, the Neurourology and Neurodynamics, according to Chris, want to make that journal the official journal of ICIRS. You'll be aware it's already the official journal of ICS and SUFU. I haven't actually had anything on paper to that effect, but I will ask Chris. And Chris is, of course, not here, unfortunately. He was being honored at the Slovakian Urological Association. You could get slightly more obscure by going to the Slovenian Urological Association, which is slightly smaller, but nevertheless he felt he should go. So he's not here to answer for himself and to make a proposition. But also Carl, Eric and Alan have offered for this to go into Urology Today. I must get this right. Urology Today. Euro Today, sorry. Euro Today, which is an online journal. It's currently up for Medline assessment, and the answer to whether or not it will be in Medline this year will be available in a month. So that's not a paper journal, it's entirely online, although all authors and members will get PDFs. So I think the proposition that Alan and Linda and I would like to put to you is that when we have a bit more detail, both from Euro Today and from NUU, we actually will circulate you all and ask for a vote. But in principle, I assume we agree that, again, we want all the papers to go together and for them to be badged as ICIRS second meeting. That's what we decided last year. Does anybody want to? Everyone's nodding that I can see in the dim light. So that's very helpful. So you'll get something about that once I hear from Carl Eric about the Medline, so that can be a positive statement one way or the other. We'll put the proposal anyway. We've talked about next year. If anybody wants to run this meeting next year, then I think they have to let Alan and Linda and I know. We would then give them the budget for the last 2 years, so they've got some idea, and we would then expect them to give us a budget as to how they will manage within the costs. 2012, if you remember from last year, we were not proposing having this meeting in 2012, because hopefully you will all be in the faculty of the fifth ICI, which is due for 2012. So we thought we would not have this meeting in 2012. The current plan is to have the fifth ICI alongside the EAU, because all the ICUD consultations, remembering the ICI is an ICUD consultation, and this covers lots of urological topics. The idea now is to put them alongside urological meetings, because that cuts the cost, essentially. However, if the EAU did not want us for whatever reason, then Alan and Linda and I would be keen that we tried to go it alone. That might be difficult, but at least we would intend to push for that.
Paul, up at the back here. I was just wondering, can we be a little bit more assertive with the EAU, because I would perceive it to be a huge privilege to have the ICI at the meeting. It's going to draw in additional delegates and additional prestige. Why aren't we actually approaching the president of the AUA, the secretary of the EAU, and other organisations in order to get a competitive approach to try and make us in a stronger position for the ICI?
Yeah, I mean, excellent points, and I think I can't really go into details about EAU. I think they will agree, but I see that it might be an excellent bargaining position if we could get Gopal. I think has left. Gopal Badlani will be the new secretary of the AUA, which is arguably the most important role that is in the AUA, and he will be there for the next 5 years, So a bargaining chip is always a good thing. Alan?
Do you want to mention the issue about the recommendations versus the guidelines? Because that's really the
Alan's just making the point that the sticking point, really, with both the EAU and the AUA is the fact that they produce guidelines. And they see our recommendations as, well, firstly, they say our recommendations are guidelines. We've always called them recommendations and not guidelines. And indeed, in the ICUD AIMS, which of course applies to all the different subject areas like benign prostate and erectile dysfunction, we say that the recommendations are not usually expected to be used as guidelines. But if people want to take them and turn them into guidelines, that's fine. So that's really the issue with both the EAU and the AUA, or has been. And I think it's, you know, if all of us could perhaps speak to, you know, the relevant people at EAU and AUA, then that would be good. And with my ICUD hat on, there are lots of consultations that need to take place, for example, on children's lower urinary tract dysfunction that we need, say, the AUA to take up. So I think, Helmut has influence in the AU, David in the AUA, et cetera, et cetera. So I think if we can talk to these organizations and say, well, you know, these are useful. They will add prestige to your meeting, which I think is true. We do ask them for some money as well, of course, which could be important. I can't see a thing. Is that Charis? Oh, Peggy.
That surprises me because right now we're working on some AUA guidelines, and they've made a big point of saying that recommendations are the high bar, the point at which we're trying to achieve if we're all at our very best. And guidelines represent sort of the floor, the level that everybody should be brought up to as a minimum. So I think it's right proper that we would be recommending things as recommendations, and that the AUA says, look, you've all got to at least do this much, and guidelines, and that they'd be quite separate.
Well, I totally agree with you, Peggy. So as I say, any influence any of us have, and talking to them on a regular basis, and as many people as possible talking to them, I think can only help, because I don't see the problem, really. Alan?
Yeah, you know, we might have better success with Gopal, I'm sure we will, but don't forget, he doesn't take office until after the meeting in 2011,
yeah.
So for that,
yeah.
2012 year. You know, when I discussed this with Bob Flanagan to try to just get AUA endorsement for the last one, he went crazy. Absolutely crazy about this issue of recommendations and guidelines. They didn't want anyone to compete with their guidelines. Period, period, period. And that was very clear. And I talked to the president, the vice president. They don't really do very much because they're short-term people. The secretary is the person that runs the AUA. The secretary has the most influence over the executive committee, and that was their problem. So Gopal, I think, has a better understanding of the difference between the two and the fact that, you know, one comes out of a meeting and the other one is the philosophy of the AUA. So it'll be interesting to see what happens with that. But I wouldn't count on any radical change in philosophy.
So, the bottom line is we'll keep negotiating, but in the end I think we felt that we would try and do it on our own if necessary. We'd have to do it on a much smaller scale probably than we've been used to, but I don't think that certainly wouldn't by no means negate the influence and effect of it. Can we just run over? Oh, sorry, Charis. Just remind everybody here, the Jenny Lind was a British initiative.
James
Lind's, right. Who's Jenny Lind? Somebody else.
Singer.
Oh, see, I wouldn't know that. One of the children must have told me. So James Lynn was a British initiative?
Well, yes, it's a kind of arising out of Cochrane initiative, which was to engage all the stakeholders in priority-setting exercises. Now, it can be applied to many different fields, but there was a James Lynn Alliance consultation on incontinence, to which all the professional groups, patient groups, the Bladder and Bowel Foundation, and so forth, contributed. They came up with a long list of 200 priorities. They narrowed that down to 30 priorities. They narrowed that down to 10, and they ranked them in order. And those 10 priorities were published, I think it's now published in any field, certainly online. And they are things, some of which we have certainly addressed, like what do you do with pale TBT, or what is the optimal PFMT regimen, for example. There are 10 of them, and these are things that the patients who have incontinence and their professional bodies have agreed are the things, the questions that really need answered for patient outcomes, for patient health. And these are the things we should be starting with as our what research, how should we prioritize research, what are the important questions. And there's a list of 10 of them who we should think about first. Some of them are in the process of being sorted, but you know, we should have them in the forefront of our minds whenever we're thinking about what's our next research agenda.
Thank you. Okay, now, can I just go over just the basics of the philosophy of this group? We're a members only organisation, okay, research active only, with the exception that members can of course bring young researchers who would not yet be defined as research active, but would only bring people who they felt would have a lifetime or at least for the indefinite future interest in doing research. Is that still okay with everybody? That we limit it to 100, absolutely limit it to 120. We've been 80 both years, and obviously the point of that is that, you know, we've got enough. I think we have enough experts here. If we have more experts, we'll have more views, and we'll need to reduce the presentation time down to 25%. In order that the experts can give their mandatory opinion on every topic. So is that figure still regarded as an absolute maximum, 120? Okay. And everybody, I hope, is comfortable with industry continuing with the educational grant. Well, we're comfortable with it. Hopefully industry are comfortable with it. And that they continue to be able to have research active people become members, but they cannot be involved in setting the program. Is that also reasonable? Okay. Well, I think if are there any other issues anyone wants to discuss? Excellent.
Timing in here.
Excuse me.
Yeah,
we went slightly later this year to try and avoid clash with other organisations and still managed to clash with four. But, you know, I guess you can't avoid clashing with other organisations. So I think we'll try and do a bit more homework and really find out when everybody's meetings are. And we obviously avoid the major ones. That's not difficult. But it's hard sometimes to find out whether Chris Chappell's going to get awarded some doctorate at the Slovakian Urological Association. And similarly, we missed the Polish association, which has taken three people away who would otherwise have been here. Italian Urodynamics, we thought we were completely safe because we moved a month, and they also moved a month to exactly the same time. And the EAU guidelines on incontinence chose to have their meeting at exactly the same time. So I think we can probably fix Italians, not we can't fix the Italians, but we can avoid the Italians. We should be able to avoid the EAU guidelines as well, but the national organisations might be a bit more tricky as there are so many of them. But I think this sort of time of year is about right, isn't it? So perhaps we would move back into May, maybe, but around this time.
Yeah, the AUA is the 12th to the 18th next year.
Of May. Oh, well, we probably have to stay in June then, don't we?
Beginning of June.
12th to what? 18th?
Yeah.
Okay. And for those of you that are stuck in Bristol, you poor things, overnight, you're welcome to join us for dinner. And I think the only problem is that you've got to get between from here past about 10,000 people to the restaurant tonight, because between here and the restaurant there is an open space where they're going to televise the football match, the World Cup match. So I think I'd better come and pick you up at 7:15 at the door of the Ibis, so that we can do a slightly circuitous route and try not to go through the middle of the 11,000 but round the side of them. And remember to wear your England shirts, that's really important. I don't want to see anyone in a German shirt, or even worse, Algerian or Slovenian. That would be a real no-no. So thanks very much to all of you, and have a good trip home, those of you that I won't see later on. Oh, and thank you particularly to Brian and Liz. Hashim was supposed to help, but he kept coming late because the train broke down and his car broke down. But thank you to Brian and Liz for their support and help. And also thank you to the technicians. Who's there? Because as always, we've been coming to this place for 20 years, and the senior technician is nearly retired, but his obsessionalism has been beautifully transferred to all the new people, so they're fantastic. Thank you very much.
And I think just before you all go, and I can see you're dwindling, although I did thank Paul at the welcome opening, I think both Alan and I would really like to thank Paul in particular, who puts on these meetings so well. And on a very tight budget, I have to admit, I have no idea how he does it, because I couldn't do anything like this. I looked into trying to put it on near home, but impossible. And also, of course, to Kirsten and to Liz for all the work that they did in association with this meeting, and to the staff here who've actually fed us very well and looked after us very well. And I think we're all very grateful for all of that. And see you next year.
Thank you, Linda.